اللهم جل جمعه دستات ومثل السكايات فكسي شملة لنا تزدات في وغير المهار سي شيطان ونبي ستام ستفي كام لنا بكره سايام وكدام عين بكتي ساتا لنا في كام वंशकोपचुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैः चेतनं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः Kangsa has made his attempt to kill the eighth child of Vasudeva and Devaki. But that child turned out to be none other than Durga Devi, the predominating deity of the material world. Kangsa desisted, his mind changed. He apologized to Vasudeva and Devaki. But then, in the association of his best of friends, who happened to be his ministers and who were quite demonic, asuric, means that they were envious of Krishna and anything that supported Krishna, especially the demigods, the Brahmins, the culture, the cows. So they made a plan, and Kamsa agreed to that plan, that every child born within the last 10 days or so would be killed. And they made a plan also to destroy the Vedic culture, the culture by which Krishna is the center, either directly or indirectly. He is the center of that culture. Pleasing him is the center. And they made a plan, a scheme, a conspiracy to destroy that, which was extremely violent. Meanwhile, as they began to their ways, we begin in chapter 5. It's entitled The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. Nanda Maharaj, so the child had been brought by Vasudeva. He had brought the child Vishnu to across the Jamuna River from Mathura to Gokul. And there in Gokul, he exchanged the child with the girl child of Yasoda Devi, and he left his Vasudeva Krishna there. And Vasudeva and Yasoda and all the residents of Vrindavan had thought that Yasoda had given birth to a female child. Vasudeva, on the other hand, he thought that the female child was Yasoda's and that his son was now growing up in Gokul. Now here's the first verse in this chapter, and then Prabhupada has an important purport which is very much based on the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will explain some further details than Prabhupada does. This is the first two verses, actually. Sukadeva Goswami, who is narrating this to whom? To Prickit Maharaj. He's speaking, and Prickit Maharaj only had a few days left in his life, and he actually, when he found out that he was going to die, he began to question the sages present and ask them, "Well, I'm going to die in 1 week. How should I spend my time? What should I do during these last remaining days of my life? How should I spend my time? Should I eat, drink, and be merry? For tomorrow I shall die?" None of the sages suggested that. They had their different ideas, but Sukadeva Goswami, his opinion, which was accepted by everyone present, is that he should focus a king who is soon to die should focus his consciousness fully on Krishna, and to assist him in that, Sukadeva is speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam, Param Satyam Param Dhimayi, which is a meditation on the Param Satyam, which means the absolute truth. So Sukadeva Goswami said, and this is the heart, well, one could say it's the smile, Krishna's, the 10th canto that we're hearing now is the smiling face of Krishna, of the Bhagavatam, the smiling face of Krishna. Because it's, after all the conceptions, everything leading to Krishna's explanation has been explained now, directly describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these other conceptual framework had to be established already, because Krishna's pastimes are all imitative of human. They are called Naralila, or one could say that the human beings, their activities, they imitate Krishna's, because Krishna is the origin. But Krishna will always do extraordinary things. Sukadeva Goswami said, this is text 1 through 2. And please open the window or the door. Nanda Maharaj was naturally very magnanimous. And when Lord Sri Krishna appeared as his son, he was overwhelmed by jubilation. Therefore, after bathing and purifying himself and dressing himself properly, he invited Brahmins who knew how to recite Vedic mantras. And having these qualified Brahmins recite auspicious Vedic hymns, he arranged to have the birth ceremony, the Vedic birth ceremony, celebrated for his newborn child according to the rules and regulations. This is a sanskara. This is a purificatory ceremony that makes an impression, an auspicious impression in the child's heart. Sanskar. And he also arranged for the worship of demigods and forefathers. Now here's Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has discussed the significance of the word Nandas too. The word too, he says, is not used to fulfill the sentence. In other words, it's not there to balance out the meter, and it's not there. Too means but. It's not there to balance out the meter of the sentence. Sometimes when one is writing poetry, one has to balance the meter. And in Bengali, there are little syllables that one puts in, like ta, puts in to balance out the sentence. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this syllable is not there to fulfill the sentence, either from the metrical, the meter point of view of the poetry of the Bhagavatam verse, or from the point of view of the meaning. Because without two, the sentence is complete. Therefore, the word two is used for a different purpose. Although Krishna appeared as the son of Devaki, Devaki and Vasudeva did not enjoy the Jatakarma, the festival of the birth ceremony. Instead, this ceremony was enjoyed by Nanda Maharaj, as stated here, Nandas tu atmaja utpane jata lado mahamana. Lado means jata, the birth ceremony. He was overjoyed to perform this. And this chapter is mostly a very festive chapter, because there is such an ecstatic mood in Vrindavan, in Gokul Vrindavan, because Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has taken his birth. As if an ordinary child, but the most extraordinary child, in fact. So the birth ceremony was not enjoyed by Vasudeva and Devaki. It was enjoyed only by Nanda Maharaj. When Nanda Maharaj met Vasudeva, and that will happen later on in the chapter, Vasudeva could not disclose, "Your son Krishna is actually my son. You are his father in a different way, spiritually." He could not say that. Because of fear of Kamsa, Vasudeva could not observe the festival for Krishna's birth. Nanda Maharaj, however, took full advantage of this opportunity. So who was happy and who was sad? Was Nanda Maharaj happy? He was ecstatically jubilant because he had the most wonderful son, Krishna. Was Vasudev happy? He was extremely happy on one level, because his son had escaped the six sons previous to this son's birth. They had been killed by Kamsa. And this son he had brought across the river. And therefore, he was quite thrilled, and he didn't want anyone to know. So the things that he couldn't naturally do, such as perform lavashi, the birth ceremony, which on one level would have caused him unhappiness, because the center of his consciousness and thought was whom? Protecting whom? It was Krishna. So he was sacrificing so much to protect Krishna, and that by definition brings happiness. So one person's happiness with Krishna in the center may be to renounce something. Vasudev couldn't tell anyone what he had done in bringing the child across the river. And Nanda Maharaj wanted to tell the whole world that a wonderful son had been born. So very interesting. Both were thinking of Krishna and Krishna's pleasure. In both cases, Krishna was the center. The Jatakarma ceremony, Jatakarma means the birth ceremony, can take place when the umbilical cord connecting the child and the placenta is cut. However, since Krishna was brought by Vasudev to the house of Nanda Maharaj, where was the chance for this to happen? Interesting. That there was no cutting, if that's the case. If Vasudev brought the child across the river as he was thinking, then there would be no cutting. And then if there was no cutting, everyone would have been amazed in the home of Nanda Maharaj, because they would have thought, how is this possible? This child's umbilical cord has already been cut. In this regard, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur desires to prove with evidence from many shastras that Krishna actually took birth as the son of Yasoda before the birth of Yogamaya, who is therefore described as the Lord's younger sister. We heard about that already. Drisyanta Anuja Vishnu, the younger sister of Vishnu. Even though there may be doubts about the cutting of the umbilical cord, and even though it is possible that this was not done, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, such events are regarded as factual. Krishna appeared as Varahadev from the nostril of Brahma, and therefore Brahma is described as the father of Varahadev. Also significant are the words Karayam Asha Vidhivat, being overwhelmed with jubilation over the birth of his son. Nanda Maharaj did not see whether the cord was cut or not. Thus he performed the ceremony very gorgeously. According to the opinion of some authorities, Krishna was actually born as the son of Yasoda. In any case, without regard for material understandings, we can accept that Nanda Maharaj's celebration for the ceremony of Krishna's birth was proper. This ceremony is therefore well known everywhere as Nandotsava, the day after the birth of Lord Krishna. Here's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada took some of the points that Vishwanath gave and he explained it in one way, and here is exactly what Vishwanath said, at least part of it. Although Vasudev was completely overjoyed over the birth of his son, due to the fear of Kamsa, he could not celebrate the birth in Mathura with the Jatakarma ceremony, cutting of the umbilical cord. Nanda's Tvatmaja, the birth of Nanda's son. When Nanda's son was born, he joyfully celebrated the birth with Swasti Vachana and other auspicious ceremonies. The use of the word two indicates the difference in the birth celebration, but it also indicates that Krishna was born in Nanda's house as well as in Mathura. This proof is established in the Harivamsa. In the eighth month, this is a quotation from that scripture, in the eighth month, on the eighth day, the eighth titi, before the pregnancy was complete, both Devaki and Yasoda gave birth at the same time. The word two is not used merely to complete the meter of the sloka, because Anyway, that's a little technical. Then more. The Jatakarma ceremony takes place only after cutting the umbilical cord. How could there be a child born with the umbilical cord already cut? Which would be the case if Krishna were Vasudeva's child. The fact that Krishna is actually the son of Yasoda is mentioned in many shastras. Therefore, it should not be claimed that these statements do not represent the real meaning of the words in this verse. For example, in chapter 4, the previous chapter, text 9 in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maya Devi is mentioned as Krishna's youngest sister because she was born to Yasoda after him. In chapter 8, verse 34, Gauga Muni tells Nanda Maharaj that previously Nanda's son was born in Vasudeva's house. In chapter 14, verse 1, Lord Brahma says that Krishna was born from a limb of Nanda. Besides the Srimad Bhagavatam, other scriptures address Krishna as the son of a cowherd woman. In the Gautamiya Tantra, Krishna is called Yasoda Nandana, the son of Yasoda. Krama Dapik, Dapik refers to Krishna as the son of a cowherd named Nanda. Nanda Gopa Tanaya. Poetic works describe Krishna as the son of Nanda, Nanda Putra. Nanda, one other comment from Vishwanath, Nanda had others perform Krishna's birth rituals because he was unable to do so due to his being overwhelmed with joy over the birth of his son. So the ecstasy that he was experiencing due to his parental relationship with Krishna overwhelmed him, that he could not himself perform the ceremony. This is not the material love of a man for his son. This is the ecstasy of one soul. His relationship with Krishna fully blossomed in his own specific individual relationship. Of course, Nanda Maharaj is in a special category, but this is what it is like. Every soul has an inherent relationship with Krishna. And when that is expanded in full love, every dealing causes the highest ecstasy. And this is what we're going to be hearing about, the different ecstatic relations between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan. Text 3. Nanda Maharaj gave 2 million cows completely decorated with cloth and jewels in charity to the Brahmins. He also gave them 7 hills of grain. How much is a tola?
Tola is very little? It's like less than a kilo.
Less than a kilo. So there's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an explanation of the relation, because Prabhupada translates that as a hill of grain, a mountain of grain. So this is a particular measurement. With, there's like 1,000 tolas or something. So 1,000 kilos.
No, this
a mound.
This kind of saying the tola means like a 5 kilo.
Oh, okay. So it's one drona. There are 10 dronas in a mountain of grains, and there's 1,024 tolas. So if it's 5 kilos, that's 5,000 kilos times 10. It's 50,000 kilos. So there were 10 mountains of these. He gave away of grains. He gave away in charity. 7 hills of grain. He gave them, the Brahmins, 7 hills of grain covered with jewels and with cloth. Oh, these are the cows. Millions of cows. See, this is the happiness of a pious person. He gives and gives, because when one is happy, one's heart opens. And then so much charity comes out. Wants to give and give and give. So Nanda Maharaj was thrilled, and he gave so much charity. He also gave them, the Brahmins, 7 hills of grains covered with jewels and with cloth decorated with golden embroidery. O King, by the passing of time, land and other material possessions are purified. By bathing, the body is purified, and by being cleansed, unclean things are purified. By purificatory ceremonies, birth is purified. By austerity, the senses are purified. And by worship and charity offered to the Brahmins, material possessions are purified. By satisfaction, the mind is purified. And by self-realization of Krishna consciousness, the soul is purified. So the ceremony went on. The Brahmins recited auspicious Vedic hymns, which purified the environment by their vibration. Many of us have probably had the experience that when there's a fire sacrifice going on and auspicious mantras and kirtan are being recited, chanted, the atmosphere becomes surcharged with auspiciousness. It becomes subtle, fine, happy, and auspicious. This is the Vedic system, how to organize things in such a clean, auspicious way, using auspicious ingredients, that everyone naturally becomes happy of heart. But these sciences, the science of auspiciousness, is simply not known in Kali Yuga. Rather, when people think of enjoyment, they think of things in ignorance, dirty things, horrible things, intoxication, gambling. But these cause an ignorant atmosphere that do not actually bring auspiciousness or happiness to the soul, to the heart, to the individual. The Brahmins recited auspicious Vedic hymns, which purified the environment by their vibration. The experts in reciting old histories like the Puranas, the experts in reciting the histories of royal families, and general reciters all chanted, while singers sang in many kinds of musical instruments like bhedis and dandubis, these are drums, played in accompaniment. Vrajapur, the residence of Nanda Maharaj, was fully decorated with varieties of festoons and flags, and in different places gates were made with varieties of flower garlands, pieces of cloth and mango leaves. So these were auspicious gates set up in different parts of Braja. And these two, gates made of leaves, gates made of cloth and flower garlands, these three different kinds of gates are given auspicious mood and feeling. And we see this in when there's a wealthy person's house, at the front gate there will be an arch of some sort, and you walk through that, and there's immediately a feeling, positive feeling. In a garden, they have different trellises that are like gates. These give their own auspicious feelings to them. So the science was really known, and articles like grains and will be explained, everything cleansed very carefully, everything sprinkled with auspicious fragrant substances, festoons and flags. A festoon is what is a festoon? We use that. It's a hanging cloth. Yes. These, they just give a very merry, light, happy, colorful, uplifting feeling. The courtyards, the gates near the roads, and everything within the rooms of the houses were perfectly swept and washed with water. The cows, the bulls, and calves were thoroughly smeared with a mixture of turmeric and oil, mixed with varieties of minerals. Their heads were bedecked with peacock feathers, and they were garlanded and covered with cloth and golden ornaments. Prabhupada explains in his purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has instructed in Bhagavad Gita, Krishi Gauraksha Bani Jam Vaisha Karma Sobhava Jam. Farming, cow protection, and trade are the qualities of work for the Vaishyas. Nanda Maharaj belonged to the Vaishya community, the agriculturalist community. How to protect the cows and how rich this community was are explained in these verses. We can hardly imagine that cows, bulls, and calves would be cared for so nicely and decorated well with cloths and valuable golden ornaments. How happy they were! As described elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, during Maharaj Yudhisthira's time, the cows were so happy that they used to muddy the pasturing ground with milk because they knew they would never be killed. So therefore they gave, due to their satisfaction, they gave milk profusely. And so many wonderful things, auspicious, tasty, valuable things come from the cow. So much can be made from the milk alone. This is Indian civilization. Yet in the same place, India, Bharatvarsh, how much people are suffering by giving up the Vedic way of life and not understanding the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Text 8. O King Cricket, the cowherd men, so the city was completely cleansed and made auspicious. It was decorated, the cows were decorated profusely and wonderfully. And now the cowherd men, the next two verses describe, the next few verses describe the persons and what they were doing. O King Parikit, the cowherd men dressed very opulently with valuable ornaments and garments such as coats and turbans. Decorated in this way and carrying various presentations in their hands, they approached the house of Nanda Maharaj. The gopi wives of the cowherd men were very pleased to hear that Mother Yasoda had given birth to a son, especially Mother Yasoda's sisters and sister-in-laws. And they began to decorate themselves very nicely with proper dresses, ornaments, black ointment for the eyes, and so on. They made themselves very beautiful and very auspicious. Their lotus-like faces, extraordinarily beautiful, being decorated with saffron and newly grown kunkuma, the wives of the cowherd men hurried to the house of Mother Yasoda with presentations in their hands. Because of their natural beauty, the wives had full hips and full breasts, which moved as they hurried along. Prabhupada explains in his purport how auspicious, beautiful, and healthy everyone was. How and why? Because they lived in such a perfect and natural way. This village life, although it is considered in contemporary civilization as backward and primitive, it is actually the ideal life. It is ideal. It is not only ideal from the practical point of view of that it's sustainable, continuously sustainable, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, one after the other. Well, now this contemporary civilization, it is proving itself completely unsustainable. The earth is turning into a desert in some places. The tides are rising, the temperatures are rising. Some of the island nations in the South Pacific are fearing that they're going to go under the water. The polar ice caps are melting. The land is becoming less fertile. The rivers are polluted. The air is polluted, the water is polluted, people's minds are polluted, people are unhappy continuously in anxiety, greed, lust, anger, illusion. These are the products of contemporary civilization. So this way of living, are those seemingly, by today's standards, it's too simple. I mean, how could they live without phones, washing machines, and what to speak of, you know what? That's not what I was thinking.
What else?
What else? There is always the internet, if you don't know what else. How can anyone live without things, these things? Their life must be so terrible. Movies, TVs. how could you live without knowing all the misery going on in all over the world, all at the same time, and having your consciousness bombarded with all the miserable news of the rest of the world, every bomb, every this, every that. People are in so much anxiety and so much debt. Countries are in debt. And yet, the audacity to consider these things that are simple living, which provides the facility for high thinking, to think them as primitive. So, in the ears of the gopis, describing more of the beauty of the gopis, they were brilliantly polished jeweled earrings, and from their necks hung metal lockets. Their hands were decorated with bangles, their dresses were of varied colors, and from their hair flowers fell onto the street like showers. Thus, while going to the house of Nanda Maharaj, the gopis, their earrings, breasts, and garlands moving, were brilliantly decorated. So everything was beautiful. Everything was beautiful, simple. Even when a few years ago, Jagatini Matsuji and I went to, in Bangladesh, we went to this village that was, there was just a little road to get there. But have you been to there near Rup Sanatan Smriti Tirtha? You went the other direction.
No.
You went west, not east. But there was no electricity, and people, except there was just a little bit of electricity and enough to have one television in the whole village, enough probably to ruin the whole thing in time. But the people there were so deeply peaceful, it was shocking. The peace was so deep. It was astounding. It was a simple village. The people were peaceful, not fearful, happy. Simple, yes. But their consciousness was like you can't buy with all the conveniences of contemporary life. And yet, one television in there, the whole village watching it, they're watching some silly show about what's going on in Dhaka, and various, oh, I want to go there and be a rickshaw driver or something. Offering blessings to the newborn child Krishna, the wives and daughters of the cowherd men said, "May you become the king of Braja and long maintain all its inhabitants." They sprinkled a mixture of turmeric powder, oil, and water upon the birthless Supreme Lord and offered their prayers. Now that the all-pervading, unlimited Lord Krishna, the master of the cosmic manifestation, had arrived within the state of Maharaj Nanda, various types of musical instruments resounded to celebrate the great festival. Prabhupada quotes in his purport from the Bhagavad Gita, "Yada yada hilamasya glani bhavati bhuta bhavati bharata." Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time, Krishna says, I descend myself. Whenever Krishna comes, once in a day of Brahma, he comes to the house of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. Krishna is the master of all creation, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Therefore, not only in the neighborhood of Nanda Maharaj's estate, but all over the universe, and in all the other universes, musical sounds celebrated the auspicious arrival of the Lord. In gladness, the cowherd men enjoyed the great festival. This is how they were enjoying themselves. By splashing one another's body with a mixture of yogurt, curd, condensed milk, butter, and water. They threw butter on one another and smeared it on one another's bodies. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, means the earth became slippery due to this, and they began to slip around and while they were moving their hands and smearing it, their feet were slipping on this, on it everywhere. Simple fun, like children. Children love mud puddles and things just to make a big mess. And then, okay, it'll get cleaned up, then they bathe and it's all fixed up. Just enjoying simple, pure, auspicious enjoyment. Prabhupada's purport. From this statement we can understand that 5,000 years ago, not only was there enough milk, butter and curd to eat, drink and cook with, but when there was a festival, it would be thrown about without restriction. There was no limit to how extensively milk, butter, curd, and other products were used in human society. Everyone had an ample stock of milk, and by using it in many varied milk preparations, people would keep good health in natural ways, and thus enjoy life in Krishna consciousness. The great-minded Nanda Maharaj gave clothing, ornaments, and cows in charity to the cowherd men, in order to please Lord Vishnu. And thus he improved the condition of his own son in all respects. He distributed charity to the sutras, the magadhas, the vandis. These were the ones who were reciting, the reciters. And men of all other professions according to their educational qualifications. And he satisfied everyone's desires. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I think, has a comment here. Nanda Maharaj gave suitably according to the level of one's knowledge and reputation. Since all in attendance were devotees of Vishnu, Nanda Maharaj gave them charity in order to please Lord Vishnu and thereby bring happiness and auspiciousness to his newborn child. Nanda Maharaj thought, may Vishnu be pleased by this charity, and by his pleasure my son will be blessed. Prabhupada's purport. One's real self-interest lies in satisfying Lord Vishnu. That is the purpose of our life. That is one's self-interest. People want to act in such a way that it will benefit them. And there is nothing that will benefit any soul, any person more than bringing pleasure to Krishna. It is like, if we want the hand to be nourished, we put food in the mouth and then the nourishment spreads and the hand is also nourished. So similarly, if we want auspiciousness and satisfaction for ourselves, we have to attain it by acting in the proper way. Like putting food in the mouth nourishes the hand. So similarly, when every individual makes Krishna, God, the center of their lives, then they become nourished spiritually. And otherwise, we try so many things, but to no avail. We try this and that and this and that. But the fault of our endeavor is that we always keep ourselves in the center, and we're just too tiny. We are too tiny, first of all, to be in the center of anything. All we're in the center of is our own illusion that we're the center of something. And secondly, it is not the proper way that the soul can become happy. Naturally, if we satisfy Krishna, the bliss comes to the soul. And this is the art of Krishna consciousness, to actually, tangibly, practically put Krishna in the center. This is called Bhagavad Dharma or Bhakti Yoga or devotional service. So Prabhupada said, not satisfying Lord Vishnu, but instead attempting to become happy through material adjustments, Bahir Artha Manina, is the wrong way for happiness. Because Vishnu is the root of everything. If Vishnu is pleased, everyone is pleased. In particular, one's children and family members become happy in all respects. Nanda Maharaj wanted to see his newborn child happy. This was his purpose. Therefore, he wanted to satisfy Lord Vishnu. And to satisfy Lord Vishnu was necessary to satisfy his devotees, such as the learned Brahmins, Magadhas, and Sutras. Thus, in a roundabout way, ultimately, it was Lord Vishnu who was to be satisfied. To give charity to the devotee of Krishna satisfies Krishna. Just like when two people meet on the street and they have their children with them, they have to. It is etiquette that you have to, two friends have to say nice thing about the other's child, have to pat the other's child on their head. And that, why? Is because that is the way to satisfy the parent and bring pleasure to the parent's mind and heart. So similarly, to satisfy Krishna, one has to satisfy the devotees of Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj, even though he was the greatest devotee of Krishna, he also wanted to satisfy the devotees of Krishna. Text 17. The most fortunate Rohini, and Rohini is called most fortunate because she was the only wife of Vasudeva who had the opportunity to be present during Krishna's birth ceremony and to see Krishna's childhood pastimes in Vrindavan. The most fortunate Rohini, the mother of Baladev, was honored by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and thus she also dressed gorgeously and decorated herself with a necklace, a garland, and other ornaments. She was busily wandering here and there to receive the women who were guests at the festival. Purport. Rohini, another wife of Vasudeva's, was also kept under the care of Nanda Maharaj with her son Baladev. Because her husband was imprisoned by Kamsa, she was not very happy. But on the occasion of Krishna Janmashtami, Nandotsava, when Nanda Maharaj gave dresses and ornaments to others, he also gave gorgeous garments and ornaments to Rohini so that she could take part in the festival. Thus she was also busy receiving the women who were guests. Because of her good fortune in being able to raise Krishna and Balaram together, she is described as Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate. O Maharaj Prickett, the home of Maharaj, of Nanda Maharaj, is eternally the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His transcendental qualities, and it is therefore always naturally endowed with the opulence of all wealth. Yet beginning from Lord Krishna's appearance there, it became the place for the pastimes of the Goddess of Fortune. In other words, although the place was already opulent and fully auspicious, still when Krishna appeared, the opulence and auspiciousness increased further. Here is Prabhupada's short purport. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahma Sevyamanam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The abode of Krishna is always served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Wherever Krishna goes, the goddess of fortune naturally resides with him. The chief of the goddesses of fortune is Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Krishna's appearance in the land of Braja indicated that the chief goddess of fortune, Radharani, would also appear there very soon. Nanda Maharaj's abode was already opulent, and since Krishna had appeared, it would be opulent in all respects. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it is impossible even for Kuvera, the demigod's treasurer, to satisfy everyone's desires. How then was it possible for Nanda Maharaj to accomplish this? This verse answers that question. Vraja, which is Krishna's eternal place of residence, always increases in Krishna's qualities by its very nature. This started from the birth of Krishna, Tata Arabdhya. Krishna's home in Nandagram became the place of pastimes for all wealth. If all wealth began to play in Nanda's house, how was it possible that anything was lacking to give in charity? So like an unlimited ocean, Nanda Maharaj was giving in charity because his heart was overflowing with happiness that this wonderful son had come to him in his older age. Text 19. Sukadev Goswami continued, thereafter, my dear King Purikit, O best of protectors of the Kuru dynasty, Nanda Maharaj appointed the local cowherd men to protect Gokul, and then he went to Mathura to pay the yearly taxes to King Kamsa. Why did he take this time to go to Mathura to pay taxes? Here's Prabhupada's purport. Because the killing of babies was going on, this was the plan of Kamsa's evil demonic Rakshasa ministers, and it was already going on and had already become known. Nanda Maharaj was very much afraid for his newborn child. Thus he appointed the local cowherd men to protect his home and child. He wanted to immediately go to Mathura to pay the taxes and also to offer some presentation for the sake of his newborn son. For the protection of his son, he had worshipped various demigods and forefathers and given charity to everyone's satisfaction. Similarly, Nanda Maharaj wanted not only to pay Kamsa the yearly taxes, but also to offer some presentation so that Kamsa too would be satisfied. Because everyone likes to get a gift. And when someone gives you a gift, a valuable gift, one's mind becomes disposed towards that person. And then if one has some bad thoughts about the person, they float away, they dissolve. So Nanda Maharaj wanted to give something to Kamsa, not only to pay his taxes, which was also required, but so that Kamsa would be pacified and not look at him with crooked, staring, evil eyes and try to hurt whom? Krishna. Because as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in the comment, as Prabhupada explained, his only concern was how to protect his transcendental child, Krishna. No matter what the residents of Vrindavan do, whatever it appears like externally, he's going to pay his taxes, he doesn't want to get in trouble with the Australian tax office or anything like that. No matter what it appears like, the only concern of these exalted souls is to please Krishna and protect Krishna. Krishna is the center. And this is the point that has to be understood when understanding Vrindavan. Krishna is always the center, and that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No matter what things externally appear like, these pastimes are going on in a wonderful way, eternally. So he went. When Vasudev heard that Nanda Maharaj, his very dear friend and brother, had come to Mathura and already paid the taxes to Kamsa, he went to Nanda Maharaj's residence. Now why did he go? An old friend had come. But we should understand that the reason why these great devotees do anything is simply Krishna-centered, something to do with Krishna. Krishna's pleasure, Krishna's protection. Krishna's the center of their lives. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments here. King Devamida of the Yadu clan, of the Yadavas, had two wives, one of a Kshatriya family, the other of a Vaishya family. Through the Kshatriya, he bore a son named Sura, and through the Vaishya wife, he bore a son named Parjanya. Sura had a son named Vasudev, a Kshatriya, a warrior, and Parjanya had a son named Nanda, a cowherd or Vaishya. Thus Vasudev and Nanda were brothers or cousins with the same grandfather, who was a Yadava, and different grandmothers. Nanda was therefore a Yadava. In the Skanda Purana, Krishna says, "I lifted Govardhan Hill for the benefit of the Yadavas, Nanda and others." Krishna told his brother Baladev, "Amongst all the Yadavas, those living in Mathura and Braja, you are the most dear." So both, these are just family, both are considered in the Yadu dynasty. When Nanda Maharaj heard that Vasudev had come, he was overwhelmed with love and affection, being as pleased as if his body had regained its life. Seeing Vasudev suddenly present, he got up and embraced him with both his arms. O Maharaj Prickett, having thus been received and welcomed by Nanda Maharaj with honor, Vasudev sat down very peacefully and inquired about his own two sons because of intense love for them. So Balaram was his son, and Krishna, in one level, was his son. And he was concerned about them, so he went to see Nanda Maharaj, because they were both in Gokul under Nanda Maharaj's care. My dear brother Nanda Maharaj, Vasudeva said. At an advanced age, you had no son at all, and you were hopeless of having one. Therefore, that you now have a son is a sign of great fortune. So he's speaking indirectly here, because he's exchanged Vishnu for Yasoda's child, Yogamaya, but he's not sure if they're aware of it or not. So he's beginning to speak to them, oh, you're so fortunate that you have had a son. And he's waiting to hear what Nanda Maharaj is going to say. If Nanda Maharaj says, no, actually I had a daughter, but I don't know, it was changed with a son, then it's very dangerous for him. Then it's going to get out. And then Kamsa will find out that his son, Vishnu, is with Nanda Maharaj, and he's going to kill him. So he's very carefully, indirectly, inquiring from Nanda Maharaj if the truth about Krishna's being exchanged is known or not. Prabhupada's purport, we'll read just half of it, it's short. Vasudeva knew that Yasoda had given birth to a female child whom he had stolen and replaced with a male child. This was a great mystery. And Vasudeva wanted to determine whether this mystery was already known to Nanda Maharaj. On inquiring, however, he was confident that the mystery of Krishna's birth and his being placed in the care of Yasoda was still hidden. There was no danger then, since Kamsa at least could not learn what had actually happened. So Vasudeva continued speaking. It is also by good fortune that I'm seeing you. Having obtained this opportunity, I feel that I have taken my birth again. Even though one is present in this world, to meet with intimate friends and dear relatives in this material world is extremely difficult. Many planks and sticks unable to stay together are carried away by the force of a river's waves. Similarly, although we're intimately related with friends and family members, we are unable to stay together because of our varied past deeds and the waves of time. This is all according to karma. One doesn't know, we think, and this point has been already discussed in the talking between Kamsa and Vasudeva and Devaki, that our fate is very, very strong. It pushes us this way, it pushes us that way. This is karma. So there is no telling how long of us, what to speak of, how long any of us will be in the world, but what will happen to us. Soon we may be pushed over to this side, soon we may be pushed over to that side. Family members separated, friends separated. This is all karma. So Vasudeva is speaking like this, that it's been so long since I've seen you, because he had been in prison for many years. My dear friend Nanda Maharaj, in the place where you're living with your friends, is the forest favorable for the animals, the cows? I hope there's no disease or inconvenience. The place must be full of water, grass, and other plants. My son Baladev, being raised by you and your wife Yasoda Devi, considers you his father and mother. Is he living very peacefully in your home with his real mother Rohini? When one's friends and relatives are properly situated, because he saw on one level that Nanda Maharaj was so happy with his family, and on the other hand, without one's own family, there's no impetus towards happiness. So he says, when one's friends and relatives are properly situated, one's religion, economic development, and sense gratification, as described in the Vedic literatures, are beneficial. Otherwise, if one's friends and relatives are all in distress, these three cannot offer any happiness. So he's talking about himself. If there's trouble in the family, no matter what is happening externally, whether one is acting in a pious way, or whether one is very wealthy, or one is living in a very posh apartment or house, if there's trouble with the family, if there's an internal lamentation and anxiety, nothing gives happiness. So Vasudeva is speaking about his own condition, because none of his children could be with him. They were either killed, or Baladev, or Krishna, everyone is sent away. So no happiness, he says, in my life. Nanda Maharaj said, alas, King Kamsa killed so many of your children born of Devaki. And your one daughter, the youngest child of all, entered the heavenly planets. Here's Prabhupada's purport, because we heard how that child, who was Yogamaya, went up into the sky when Kamsa tried to kill her. Prabhupada's purport. When Vasudeva understood from Nanda Maharaj that the mystery of Krishna's birth and his having been exchanged with Yashoda's daughter was yet undisclosed, he was happy that things were going on nicely. So within the unhappiness, there was great happiness, because his real happiness was the pleasure of Krishna. So Krishna was safe. This was his anxiety. Despite that Kamsa was always trying to kill different children, and Vasudeva was always in anxiety about Krishna. Oh, Krishna, well, I hope Krishna is all right. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. This was due to his love for Krishna. And that anxiety based on love produced an ecstasy within Vasudeva. This is Krishna consciousness. So when Nanda said, you're so unfortunate because your daughter, one of the reasons your daughter became exalted and went to heaven, then Vasudeva could understand clearly. He doesn't understand that was actually his daughter. And then he became happy. Krishna is safe. Nanda Maharaj indicated that he did not know that this daughter was born of Yashoda and that Vasudeva had exchanged with Krishna. Thus the doubts of Vasudeva were dispelled. And this was one of the main purposes why Vasudeva came to see Nanda Maharaj. He wanted to see if Nanda Maharaj actually understood the situation. Text 30. Nanda Maharaj continued, every man is certainly controlled by destiny. These people are so philosophical, which determines the results of one's fruitive activities. In other words, one has a son or daughter because of unseen destiny. And when the son or daughter is no longer present, this is also due to unseen destiny. Destiny is the ultimate controller of everyone. One who knows this is never bewildered. Purport. Nanda Maharaj consoled his younger brother Vasudeva by saying that destiny is ultimately responsible for everything. Vasudeva should not be unhappy that his many children had been killed by Kamsa, or that the last child, the daughter, had gone to the heavenly planets. Because what to do? One has to be satisfied with one's lot in life. And if one isn't grateful about what he has, then there is no question of him being happy, even if he had 100 times as much. Without gratefulness and a satisfaction that comes from gratefulness and accepting one's destiny, no one can be happy in this world. Because greed, on the other hand, is a manifestation of dissatisfaction. And greed is like fire. No matter how much fuel is put in the fire, it is never satisfied. The fire never says, oh, that's enough. No, the fire's appetite just grows still more. And on the other hand, Vamanadeva, when begging from Bali Maharaj, asked for only 3 paces of land. And Bali Maharaj said, you're just a child. Why are you asking for that? I can give you so much. Take villages, take gold, take this, take that. And Vamanadeva replied, if one isn't satisfied with 3 paces of land, what will he be satisfied with? If one's not satisfied with what one has, what will it take? We could have the whole universe and still we'd be lamenting it's not sufficient. So one who knows this is never bewildered. That's the nature of destiny. And the final 2 verses. Vasudeva then said to Nanda Maharaj, so they exchanged something. Nanda Maharaj, Vasudeva, his purpose, his deepest purpose, fearing for Krishna's protection, had been satisfied. Nanda Maharaj wasn't aware who Krishna was, and therefore he said to Nanda Maharaj, now my dear brother, since you have paid the annual taxes to Kamsa and have also seen me, do not stay in this place for many days. It is better to return to Gokul, since I know that there may be some disturbances there. So Sukadeva Goswami said, after Vasudeva advised Nanda Maharaj in this way, Nanda Maharaj and his associates, the cowherd men, took permission from Vasudeva, yoked their bulls to the bullock carts, and started riding for Gokul. So Vasudeva, you go back now and make sure that Krishna is safe, because this Kamsa is up to terrible plotting and scheming to kill all the children. Just two little purports. My Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. On the one where Nanda Maharaj said about unseen destiny and we have to accept our fate, Vishwanath says, you have asked me questions about brother, though the ocean of calamity is difficult to cross, you can cross it on the boat of discrimination. Use your intelligence philosophically. With this intention, Nanda speaks this verse. Man is ultimately under the control of destiny. Destiny gives happiness from children, but it also takes it away. Fate is supreme. It bestows children and also takes them away. There is no one equal to he who knows fate as the cause of happiness and distress. Therefore, you should not be in confusion. Just accept your lot in life, and then you'll be satisfied with what you have. And then, short purport to the 31st verse, when Nanda Maharaj was given advice by Vasudeva to go back. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, after hearing this advice from Nanda, Vasudeva spoke that what he had come to say, this is what he actually wanted to tell him, and it was a warning. Certainly you have paid the annual tax to the king, but do not stay here for a long time, for there are many disturbances in Gokul. That's why he had come. Go back and protect Krishna. Krishna was the center of everything. And this is what it means in Vrindavan. This is what it means to be a devotee. This is what Bhakti Yoga means. Bhagavad Dharma means placing Krishna in the center. And if we keep ourselves in the center, then we, by definition, are in the material world because our consciousness is material. And if we actually have Krishna in the center with great love, try to satisfy him, then wherever we are, it is the spiritual world. Apitoyata darshana. Swaga pavagana rakhi su apitoyata darshana. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ki jai.